When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them that Jesus had said, they told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several months ago, we came across an idea. And we decided that we would spend this year focusing on that idea and learning as much as we could about it, allowing that idea to strengthen our relationship with God and to deepen the faith that we hold within us. The idea was and is beloved. That's the idea. Beloved. You and I are the beloved of God. What in the world can we make of that? We find it throughout the scripture from beginning to end. We find it throughout the millennia of years, the tradition of the church. We find it in our fellowship together here, that we are beloved of God and of each other. Well, during the season of Lent, we have been focusing those thoughts on a book that was written some years ago by Henry Nouwen called Life of the Beloved. And we've been reading through that book together. We've met in small groups, many of us, to study those concepts and to talk about them. I hope that your reading and your discussions and your prayers and your considerations of beloved and life of the beloved have been helpful to you as we work to get a firmer grasp on this idea and to let it sink deeper into our hearts and our spirits and our lives. Well, in his book, the heart of Father Nouwen's reflections on life of the beloved are in what he calls the four movements of the spiritual life. The four movements of the spiritual life are first taken, then blessed, broken, and given. In working through that series, I have discovered, as of today, much to my surprise, I've discovered that as we have moved through those four movements, taken, blessed, broken, given, that they have gotten harder as we go, tougher as we go. When I first considered it, I thought that last week was the toughest time I was going to have, dealing with our brokenness and the brokenness of life around us. I thought that would be the toughest thing. And I spent considerable time struggling with how to address that with you. When I have to talk about, it's hard to talk about our brokenness and the tragedy and the suffering of our lives, especially in these last couple of weeks. It's been particularly difficult as we have faced the pain and the suffering and the death of some dearly beloved members of this community of faith. And I discover more and more as I live, anew each year, that suffering and pain and even tragedy are simply woven into the fabric of our lives. They are part of our living. We face them all the time. And in those moments when we have the privilege not to be facing some brokenness, then we're fretting about and worrying about the tragedies that could occur, the brokenness that could come our way. And we work so hard to hold on to the hope which God offers us in Jesus, that these difficult things that come our way, they do not define or limit, they do not determine or end our lives. In God's miraculous economy, all is redeemed, transformed, made new. We are saved. We are resurrected to new life, free from all that limits us now. We are never without that hope. But it's a challenge to comprehend our brokenness and the tragedies of life without blaming it all on God. Even though God can draw good and create redemption out of tragedy and pain and sin, doesn't mean that God causes those things or sends them our way. God does not cause our suffering and pain any more than you would cause your child injury or allow them to encounter tragedy just to teach them a lesson. But God embraces us in our brokenness. God understands and ultimately heals all that afflicts God's children. And even when we are the ones, even when it is our responsibility and we cause the brokenness of life, even then, God doesn't give up on us and abandon us to our own devices. Well, I thought dealing with all that stuff, I thought dealing with our brokenness was going to be the toughest challenge that I had. But I discovered this week to talk with you about being given is tougher still. The movement of the Spirit named given is hard to talk about. Given, being given by God, is especially tough for us because we are so accustomed to getting and to taking that it's hard for us to turn ourselves around and to reverse our spirits and to think in the opposite mode. If you think about it, it really isn't so surprising. Privileged and wealthy as we are indeed more accustomed to giving, to getting, more accustomed to receiving than we are to giving. And even in the church, we've lost our grasp on this. We are called and blessed. We are named by God and gifted by God, not for our own pleasure or comfort or even for our own fulfillment. But we are called and blessed and named and gifted by God in order that we might be given by God to those whom God needs us to serve. We are chosen and called by God not for privilege, but for service. Not so that our needs can be met or our comforts provided or even for our own fulfillment. But we are chosen and called by God in order to be given. Given away. Given for those and to those whom God loves and whom God seeks. Years ago when I was in school, one of my teachers said it in a way that I've never been able to forget. This is what he said. The most important question for you as you walk the Christian journey, the most important question is not, are you saved? The most important question is, how can God use me to save someone else? Given. Given is the last movement, the fourth movement of the Christian life, and vitally important it is. Hard for us to comprehend. I was looking at a magazine this week, and it was one of those magazines that comes my way that I usually don't spend much time with. And I found indeed again that I was not very impressed with the articles, and I didn't find it very interesting, but I did leaf through it. And I came across a page, and I have a slide to show you what was on this page. Right in the middle of the page, there was two sentences in bold, large print. And I read them, and they were riveting. This is what they said. You can see them in front of you. When people believe the church loves them, It helps them believe that God loves them. Never thought of it that way before. But that's how important it is for us to live this fourth movement of the spiritual life, to allow ourselves to be given by God to others. Because when we, the church, love others, it helps them to believe that God loves them. And once we believe that God loves us, then we are well on our way to a new life in Christ. When people see the church, when people see folks like you and me giving ourselves for them, to love them, to help them, to serve them, it helps them believe that God loves them too. And God helps them. And God seeks them. Palm Sunday, today, is the beginning of the most important 8 days in the Christian calendar. The most important 8 days that we live every year. I bet you thought it was Christmas. It's not. You might have thought it was your birthday. No, no, no. These are the most important 8 days that we live every year. You know the story. Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem. They shout Hosanna and wave their branches, laying them on the street in front of him to walk over. Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem, but in pretty short order, the crowds begin to turn against him. By Thursday, he is sitting with his disciples in a Last Supper, which we will celebrate here on Thursday evening of this week. And then the week ends with Jesus' body broken on the cross of Calvary and his disciples fleeing in disbelief, only to have their world turned upside down again when Jesus begins appearing to them in a new resurrected body. A remarkable drama, a magnificent drama. Millions of people through the ages have had their lives transformed by the power of this story. A magnificent message encapsulated in a very short period of time, only 8 days. But it is the story of God giving himself in Jesus, and Jesus giving himself to us, and the story of us, Jesus' people, giving ourselves for others. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about a tragic incident that took place on January 13th, 1982. And I want to refer to that incident again and tell another side of that story. As with many public tragedies, there are multiple sides to the story. You may remember that day. It was the day on which an airliner crashed into the icy waters of the Potomac in Washington, D.C. 79 people were aboard that airplane, and of that number, only 5 survived. Each of those survivors had something in common, though. They owed their life to one man. He was a 46-year-old bank examiner. His name was Arland D. Williams, Jr. Workers on the rescue helicopter sent to the crash scene reported that Arland Williams was one of 6 people clinging to the twisted wreckage of the plane in the icy Potomac. Immediately, the helicopter hovered over them and dropped life vests and a flotation ball on a lifeline. Williams was the first one to grab hold of the safety line, and he passed it on to another survivor who was pulled up to the helicopter and to safety. The line was thrown out again, and Williams again caught it. And he passed it to another survivor until all 5 of those floating in the water with him were pulled into the helicopter to safety. By the time they lowered the rescue ball again for Williams, however, both he and the plane's tail section had disappeared beneath the icy surface of the water. He'd been in the water for 29 minutes. He had had 5 opportunities to be saved, 5 opportunities to be lifted into the helicopter and live. But each time, he deferred to another. His body was recovered some days later. According to the coroner, Arland Williams was the only passenger that day to die by drowning. The rest had died on impact. Only he had lived to give his life away. You see, they said, he did not so much lose his life, he gave his life. You see, we are taken and blessed, we are broken and we are given. And it is that last movement of the life of the Spirit, being given, that is hardest for us. Wasn't easy for Arlen Williams. The helicopter pilot was interviewed later. He described Williams as the bravest man he had ever seen. Imagine, he said, you had just survived. He had just survived that horrible plane crash. The river was ice cold, and each moment brought him closer to death. He could have gone up on the first trip. He could have been the first one pulled from the water. But he put everyone else ahead of himself. Truly a hero. And later, you may know, the bridge that plane hit on its way into the water was renamed. And still today, it is the Arlen D. Williams Jr. Memorial Bridge, because he did not so much lose his life as he gave it. The fourth movement of the life of the Spirit, given, speaks to us of what God does for us day by day. Speaks to us of how God gave us his child, and how that child gave himself for us, and how we are called to follow in his train. We've been talking about those four movements of the spiritual life: taken, blessed, broken, given. I thought talking about brokenness would be the toughest one, but I was wrong. It's much harder to talk about and to comprehend being given. Being given for God's purposes. Given for the life of those whom God seeks to save. I've discovered that each of the movements of the spiritual life is harder than the one before. And that makes it hardest of all to embrace the notion that my life and yours are shaped and formed by God, gifted and named by God, taken and blessed by God in order to be given. Given for others. Given so that God's great dream of life, abundant life, transformed life, can be experienced by all God's children in every place, in every time. When people believe, the church loves them. It helps them believe God loves them. When people see others giving themselves for their welfare and for their life, it makes it easier. Perhaps it even makes it possible for them to give themselves too, that others might live and flourish. Amen.